13. They materialized on the patch of lawn in front of Sid's Victorian house and split up in sullen silence, Maddie and Brewster sulking because the magicians wouldn't accept that Philip was the enemy, Gilbert and Sid moping because the twins wouldn't take their word for it that he wasn't. They each used the restroom, got a drink, and reconvened at the outdoor kitchen, drawn instinctively by the smell of the grilled cheese sandwiches Gilbert was making. As they ate, Maddie stifled a small laugh.
What? Gilbert asked.
Nothing.
Come on, what is it?
Maddie rolled her eyes.
Oh, it's dumb, but I was just thinking about how funny Dad looked flying through the woods unconscious. The little stream of drool trailing out of his mouth as he went is what got me.
The four of them either chuckled or let out the single sharp exhalation through their nostrils that signals that something didn't make you laugh, but you recognize it as funny anyway. Brewster swallowed a bite of sandwich and said,
I liked how unimpressed he looked after our magic trick. I think that's pretty much how Maddie and I always look after he shows us one of his.
Again, they shared a laugh, not entirely at Martin's expense, but not exactly to his credit either. Gilbert said,
I was just wondering how many times your father had to watch Dune to plan that wedding. Recreating the Guild Navigator especially must have taken a ton of time and effort. We all want our special day to be perfect, but he went to an awful lot of trouble to decorate his wedding ceremony with a giant smoking scrotum.
They all laughed. Maddie shot water out her nose. They all laughed harder, and by the time they stopped, they had all forgotten that they were irritated with each other. Sid tapped a few keys on his netbook as he finished his sandwich, then closed the lid and said,
Now then, my young apprentices, I do believe it's time to finish up your training. What do you mean, finish up?
Maddie asked.
We are done?
Gilbert smiled.
You can fly, you can levitate objects, you can make things appear and disappear. We haven't figured a way to read minds yet, so there really isn't much left to teach you.
Sid said,
Quite. You'll want to learn to code so you can come up with powers of your own, but you'll have to handle that yourself.
Brewster said,
Oh, Mom and Dad have been making us take coding classes.
There you go, Gilbert said. Good parents, thinking ahead.
Almost certainly Gwen's doing, Sid motioned toward his netbook. I've accessed your hats and enabled the last few powers I'm going to give you. You're now able to teleport. You'll find it in the menu. You can choose from one of the preset places we've already programmed, or you can use MapQuest to pick a place.
Maddie scrunched her nose.
MapQuest? What is that, some sort of ancient precursor to Google Maps?
Gilbert said,
I prefer to think of it as a high-tech alternative to Microsoft AutoMap on CD-ROM.
Sid ignored the digression.
If you teleport using your hat, we have an animation program that makes it look like the hat sucks you in and then vanishes. Also, anyone touching you will teleport as well, which can be either rather convenient or exceedingly inconvenient, depending on the person in question. Still, we suggest avoiding teleporting in front of people if you can help it. Also, in addition to the map interface, you'll see that there's a time selector, meaning that you can teleport to any place at any time. So, that's the teleporting and time travel sorted. We won't have you try it now, as it's all very straightforward. You can play around with it later if you like. You will not be doing any of it alone anyway, as Gilbert and I are going to accompany you until the investigation is complete.
Damn straight, Gilbert agreed. So that just leaves one thing to teach you. We weren't sure we were going to tell you this part. It's kind of a trade secret of ours. But we want to do right by you and your parents, so we're gonna spill the beans. First, though, you lot need to swear, that you won't tell anybody, not even your parents, what you're about to learn.
The twins' interest was piqued, and keeping secrets from their parents is pretty much what teenagers do. They talked over one another, rushing to swear secrecy.
Sid said. One of the great disappointments of the magic community is that nobody has successfully developed a means of turning invisible without unpleasant side effects. Except, that is to say, for us.
Gilbert held his arms outward, drawing the twins' attention, made a showy little flourish with his fingertips, then threw some small object at the ground in front of his feet, shouting, "Ninja, vanish!" The thrown object exploded in a blinding light, a billowing cloud of grayish-white smoke, and a low, slow, phoomp noise. When the twins' eyes recovered from the flash, Gilbert was gone. Sid stood, smiling at Maddie and Brewster, neither of whom said a word. After several seconds of silence, Sid asked,
"So then, where did he go?"
He didn't go anywhere, did he?" Maddie said. "You said he was going to turn invisible, so I guess he's still here."
Brewster said, "Yeah, we didn't doubt he could do it. He said he was gonna, after all. We just want to know how it's done." Sid shook his head.
"That's the damnable irony of magic. It's a lot more impressive when you don't believe in it."
Gilbert's disembodied voice said,
"Yeah, I'm over here. Don't bother to look for me waving or anything. You won't see me. Look to the right of Sid. And I mean, look carefully. Really study the background. You'll see an area where whatever's behind me seems a little warped. That's where I am."
"Oh," Maddie said. "Yeah, I think I see it."
Brewster squinted.
"It's like the wall of your house has a dent in it."
Sid nodded.
"You see, my young friends, all the other wizards have tried to make themselves invisible by changing themselves somehow. That's invariably too dangerous, too difficult, or in most cases, both. We, by contrast, realize that humans see by detecting the light bouncing off of things. So we made a spell that bends the light around the magician, leaving him or her unchanged."
Gilbert's voice said, "All of the light that gets within 2 feet of where I'm standing is bent around me. Since no light bounces off me, you can't see me. Unfortunately, the area directly behind me looks farther away, and the pattern on the floor gets distorted."
Maddie and Brewster both looked down and saw a spot where the brick pavers bent and warped as if filmed with a fisheye lens.
"It works best if the background is far away. The floor isn't a repeating pattern, and you don't move. If you sneak around slowly, it's not so bad. But the faster you walk, the easier you are to spot."
The distortion seemed to wobble and waver for a moment, then moved from right to left, becoming more obvious as it gained speed.
"Also," Gilbert said, "if you just stay where you were when you disappeared, you're more likely to get spotted. That's why we added the flashbot. It gives you a second, once you're invisible, to take a couple of giant steps away. Now, how would you two like to try it yourselves?"
Maddie and Brewster practically begged, "Please!" Sid smiled.
"Splendid. To arm the spell while wearing white gloves, take the thumb of your right hand and touch it to the crease of the first knuckle on each finger, starting with the pinky and working your way across."
Sid demonstrated with his own right hand. The kids followed suit.
"Now, again with the right hand, mime throwing a small object, about the size of a golf ball, at the floor in front of your feet. There won't actually be an object, of course, but the audience will believe that they see one because that's what the human brain does. You needn't shout, 'Ninja vanish,' by the way. Gilbert just does that because he thinks it's amusing."
"And it is,"
Gilbert's disembodied voice said.
"Go ahead. Remember, touch the first knuckles on all fingers, make the throw, boom, flash, then take 2 giant steps.
Maddie and Brewster both mimed throwing an object at the floor. 2 small explosions fired, followed almost immediately by soft thudding noises, and both Brewster and Maddie saying, "Ow!" Sid smiled, on the verge of laughing.
"First lesson, If disappearing with someone, compare notes so you don't run into each other when you make your two giant steps. Now that you're both invisible, what's the first thing you notice?
Maddie said.
I can't see.
Me neither,
Brewster said.
No, you can't. All of the light's being bent around you, so none of it's reaching your eyes. You can hear everything, but you can't see, any more than you can be seen.
In order to regain your vision, you'd need some way to reach out of the zone of darkness around you, collect some light, and somehow channel it back to at least one of your eyes. Some sort of periscope, perhaps?
Much like the one you mocked me for getting so excited about earlier.